As I said earlier, we're beginning a new series for the summer. For a few weeks, we're going to look at some of the great characters of old, and I will have you turn to another prophet. It's hard to know that even the Psalms have prophets. Asaph is one of the prophets of the Psalms. He wrote, we attribute 12 of the Psalms to Asaph, and this is one of them. Psalm 82 at verse 5, he says these words, "All the foundations of society are being shaken." Just as that song, that last song we sang, reminded us, our world is getting shaken. And, you know, this prayer from the Psalms, and that's what it is, it's just a prayer. Maybe thousands of years old, but it's still the same prayer that we offer today. That we're looking for God to be with us wherever we are, and all the foundations are being shaken, but even to the core, but God's people stay firm. At the first hour, I was sharing about the prophets. If we were to put them in a room with their evaluator, human resource know these things, you put people through evaluation. If the prophets were to sit in an evaluation and said, okay, now how successful have you been this year in reaching the goals that you've been set? You know, as you've preached these sermons, Isaiah, you've preached all these great sermons. How has it gone? Most of them would come back and say, well, I've preached the sermons, but God's people haven't responded. So I wonder where I'm at on the scale. Succeed? Succeeded somewhat. Did not succeed. But they preached the gospel, the good news, the challenge, the opportunity to come back to God. But they also shared in the depth of their character who they were. We're going to see in this series a person like Daniel who was ripped away from his family at 15, became a slave in a foreign country, and then God would move in his life to the point where he became the second highest leader in the country that he was a slave to. I mean, how amazing is that? That's when God is interacting and doing things far above the other things. We believe in getting them early and having them for life. I noticed this statement, and it is a statement that is in a book by Michael Horton, who is called Ordinary. And when it comes to targeting kid consumers, now we think about this, we at General Mills, you know what General Mills does, right? We all know what they do, what they produce, right? Follow the Procter & Gamble model, cradle to grave. You've heard me say it a number of times. In fact, we even took that motto and placed it in the family life ministry position that we have. And I hope you're praying for our kids that are going to camp today. I know many parents are just thrilled. They don't have the kids for a couple days. But pray for the leaders that are going to have those kids. That's fun. But cradle of the grave is kind of the theme. When you think about that, we see that we believe in getting them early and having them for life is an important consumer-driven part of our culture. As best that I can tell, all the evidence comes back that 80 to 85% of Americans in the last 35 to 40 years, when asked questions about when they chose to become a follower of Jesus Christ, 80 to 85 would respond that they did that before the age of 18. So if we're going to have a fertile opportunity to get folks into the kingdom, that needs to be where the target needs to be, right there. Just as the folks at General Mills or other companies are realizing, we have to be proactive in our understanding. Now, what's my point here? My point is this, that the prophets of old talked about what it meant to stay on message and connect with the one who's giving the message. The one who's giving the message. We'll see it today in the message. Daniel chapter 1. These are the visions of Isaiah, son of Amos, concerning Judah and Jerusalem. He saw visions when Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah were kings of Judah. Actually, I made a mistake. I do make mistakes. It is possible. That's not Daniel. It's Isaiah. Daniel was the one who was ripped away from his family, and that is true. We'll see that later on in this series. But what's interesting in all of this is that Isaiah, one of the strongest of all the prophets, in that he gave us so much material. Sometimes getting so much material is hard because it's hard to give an evaluation for all of that. But what we find in Isaiah's message throughout his all of his collection of sermons, because that's really what this is. His book is basically a collection of messages, just saying, listen. Listen, listen for God. Now, I want you to listen. I don't know if you've heard of these folks. I have not seen this, but I got this video clip, and it's just a 1 minute, but it's called The New Magic. It's just, it's absolutely hilarious in my mind, and I wanted to have you, it's my mind up here, not my heart, my mind right here. It was so funny in my mind. I thought, you know, in my heart, I think we can learn something from this. There's something about being aware what early man would have thought of when they saw this. So we'll go ahead and play that clip. We'll take the lights now. We'll see this. He's very short, so you have to watch real closely.
Ouch! What strange magic is this? Hognob? You stay. I don't want to attract attention. What strange magic is this?
Okay, if you missed the film, you can always see it somewhere. But here's the point. When they walked right into the glass, the early man would not have been aware of what that might have been, right? They would have been aware of that. But do you know what? There's a lot of things that we're not aware of. That all of a sudden, once we figure it out, or maybe we allow someone else to show it what it is, isn't that what the prophet did? It moved it back. Just take the glass and move it back so you can step through and see what God is up to. Because adversity is to be expected. Jesus said this in the message in John chapter 16. Jesus said, in this world you will experience difficulties. But take heart, I have conquered the world. If you don't get anything out of the message today, just know this, we have to expect adversity. It's going to happen. It's just a reality. In fact, we see, he said, I've told you this so that in trusting me, you will be unshakable. It comes back to that whole theme for this whole series. It's these words of Jesus. It's unshakable. We are unshakable. And deeply at peace, because that's what we're seeking. But adversity is something that we cannot control. It is to be expected. We are going to face it. All of Jesus' disciples faced adversity. The prophets faced adversity. So the question is, what did they do when they did face adversity? What was it that they responded to? So that's what we're going to look at today. What did they do? Now, the sources of our problems come from four sources, and they're all pretty observant. You've observed them because you've lived them. First one is our own dumb decisions. We've all made them. If we haven't admitted it yet, we need to get into therapy right now. We've all made them, right? So we start there. We have live in a crazy world. If you haven't noticed, we have a crazy world we live in. Can't control some of those things. We also have the evil one, the Satan, to look at. You know, we could look at all those sources, but if we don't look to the other source, what I call the fourth source, and you know what it is, it's the one where God is shaking, or literally rocking, our world, and we're now just getting aware of that. What is God doing? What is God doing, and what is it about? And perhaps it's not coming from one of my dumb decisions, and it's not coming necessarily from the crazy world, and it's not coming from the evil one. Maybe it's coming from God. He is wanting to say something to us. So three things I think God does want to give us as he shakes us up. He wants to give us direction. God shakes up things to direct me. A person may plan his own journey, but the Lord directs his steps. I'm appreciative of Rick Warren, who comes up with these great ideas. In fact, he would go on to say that God not only directs us, but he inspects us and corrects us at the same time. There's always that element of that. We see that message over and over again. A person may plan his own journey, but God, the Lord, directs his steps. Somebody once said, people are like tea bags. You don't know what's in them until you drop them in what? Hot water. You know what you are, but until things get hot, adversity, until adversity comes in, then what really is that what I think about? And to the test of time, God directs me. He shakes up my world to direct me, and he searches me, Jeremiah the prophet said. We'll look at Jeremiah in this series as well. Jeremiah calls us, and he says, the Lord searches our hearts and examines our deepest motives so he can give to each person his right reward. In other words, the core is there inside of us. He's directing us. Directing us where? To the point. One of the fellows that I like to read books about is John Wooden. I've read a number of the books that he was a part of, but a person was writing recently about his life. And he was the guy, I don't know if you remember, some of you would remember, he was always calm in adversity. In fact, this is what he did. As a coach, he would sit on the sidelines and he would have a program, and this is all that he did when he got upset with his players. They kind of knew that he was upset when he would do this to his program. They weren't doing those right things. So he would just sit there and do this. Now, I always thought, I would love to be a coach. I have to tell a story about the most horrifying moment in my life as a leader was when I was working with junior high kids. And the ladies in the group, the females in the group said, Bob, we'd like you to be our softball coach. Our junior high softball team needs a coach. Would you come out and coach us? And I thought, okay, I'm not sure this will work out very well. I was already questioning whether this is a good idea. Well, it went from not really a good idea to a really bad idea for me. Because it was that most horrifying moment where you were doing something you had no idea you were doing. Now, I have played baseball all my life, so I've been with it, and I always, but I never been around ladies, females in sports, so I really didn't understand that it's a very different deal. It was a very different deal. So I think I was coaching one day. Coaching third base, and I got really excited. I tend to do that. I get real excited, and I get encouraging and all those things. And so I'm patting people on the back. But then I didn't realize until later that two of the little junior high girls come and said, Bob, we really like you to stop doing this. Now today I'd have been run up the flagpole and probably arrested, but I was tapping them on the rear end as they were coming around third base. You're not supposed to touch kids. Especially there today, but it was a horrifying experience when they told me that they taught me this. You know what's interesting is that was a horrifying experience, but it was those same kids that I was in a small group with later. It was fun to be in a group, and they shared, Bob, we saw you at that moment just have this look on your face when you knew that wasn't really working. And you didn't have any clue that you were doing it, and. I cite that to the fact that in that group, they were the ones that were encouraging me. You got to go into ministry. You have a gift, but it also needs direction. It needs teaching. It needs honing. It needs opportunity. I never coached girls again. I don't know, but that was a picture. I coached guys again. That was okay. But I was like shock of all shock. But John Wooden tells this story about his father. And about his makeup, and about his reason for doing what he did. He says, I've never forgotten what I saw him, he's talking about his father, and how he did it. Over the years, I've seen a lot of leaders act like the angry young farmer who lost control. And what he's saying there, he was a youngster, probably a teenager. He was sitting in the wagon. He grew up in a rural Indiana farm. And they would take huge draft horses, somewhat like this, and pull these big gravel wagons. And they were paid by the county in those days to put gravel out of the streets. So these beautiful horses were called upon to do the heavy lifting. I mean, gravel wagons. You can just imagine how heavy those wagons would have been. And he noticed that that day as he was sitting next to his father, he's just sitting there and his father didn't say a thing. He watched this young farmer who had a team of draft horses, two, this is a picture of three, but that was the best picture I could find. I love those animals. And this farmer was very angry. He was yelling at the horses. And guess what the horses decided to do? They ignored the guy yelling. They didn't want to hear it from him anymore. In fact, they just sat in their wagon waiting for their turn. And finally, he said, "You know, I'm gonna go over and ask him." So John Wooden's father walked over to this angry farmer and asked him, "Could I have a few moments with your animals? Could I just talk to them?" The guy's thinking, "Okay." So John Wooden's father walked over to those horses, and all he did, just like the Horse Whisperer movie, what you might have seen, he started whispering to these beautiful, huge, strong draft horses. He just walked in front of them. Then he walked around. He got the reins, pulled them out. Then he just left them there for a moment. And he walked around in front, according to the story, and he just did a little whistle. And those horses, who were not moving before, decided it was time to go. They kind of have a mind of their own. They were ready. They were comfortable. They trusted the leader that was there. And they pulled that gravel wagon right out of the pit. John Wooden went on to say that he accomplished so much by watching his father's calm, confident, and steady approach. He said it takes strength inside to be gentle on the outside. Yeah, that's such a true statement about what God's concerned about. All of the prophets were concerned about one thing. They were really concerned about the inside. Now, we might think that they were concerned about the outside behaviors, but that really wasn't it at all. What God would just want his prophets to share, and we'll see that in this series, Unshakable, is that he would just call people to accountability. It wasn't turn or burn type mentality that we have. Sometimes we have this picture of the prophets, "Oh, if you don't turn, you're going to have this." No, it's simply this. What's on the inside is so much more important, because that's what God is doing. He's working on the inside. Why? God is shaking things up to make me right. That's what that word teleos, perfection in the Greek, that's what it means. He is working to do something new inside of us. But after you suffer for a little while, the God of all grace, who calls you to share his eternal glory in union with Christ, is perfecting me. Right? Christ will himself, right there, that's the word teleos I'm telling you about, will perfect me, will transform me. We're going to see that next week as we see it. The prophets kind of unfold the story, how to not get conformed to the ways of this world. Christ himself will perfect you and give you what? Now, notice this: firmness, strength, and a sure foundation. You know, that's everything about what goes on inside of us. Because God's more invested in what's inside of you is really what's going to come out anyway. So I'm more invested in the heart. God's always been invested in the heart. So he's perfecting our heart. Aristotle even said, we cannot learn without pain. And sometimes we have these painful experiences. We go through adversity. And the question is, if even Greek thinkers have these thoughts, maybe we should think about how God is shaking up our world to direct us and perfect us, maybe correct us, maybe even do an inspection of us to see what's he up to? What's he up to? He's up to the last P in the outline, which is he wants to protect us. That's the whole reason that the prophets were given a message, was to protect his people, to perfect his relationship with his people. God has led you away from danger and giving you freedom. We see this in Job, one of the patriarchs of the faith. I mean, that's one of the oldest. Even though where you see Job placed in the Old Testament, he's one of the oldest of all of the God's useful characters that come into play for us. Because Job had, if everything could go wrong, it happened to Job. Everything. He lost literally everything. Go read his story. And the question is, what did he deal with adversity? He tells us that. God has led you away from danger, giving you freedom. Freedom to what? To choose. To choose what? So that we can rejoice when we run into problems. Now, none of us are rejoicing when we run into problems. The Apostle Paul And we're going to see that too in this series, is how some of our New Testament characters actually tied into this. It says it this way: we can rejoice when we run into problems, right? Things will happen, trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us to learn to be patient, because we know that he's working on the inside. He's putting us in a position so that we can hear it. We can hear his message, that he's protecting us. And we see that, as Rick Warren says, that disappointments are really God's appointments. I thought that was so profound. God is actually at work when we're not even aware of it. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that amazing? And that's what gives us an opportunity to have depth of character, because he goes on, verse 4, he says this: and patience develops strength of character. Because that's what's on the inside, in us, and helps us to trust God more each time we use it. But you see, here's the point, and I'll close with that this morning, is each time we use it. Just as the fellow John Wooden watched his father work with the amazing animals, the draft horses, he watched something on the inside of his father actually control something that it was almost uncontrollable on the outside. And having an ability to understand what's going on inside of us, God gives us that. That's that strength of character, that integrity. Who are we when no one is looking? That's what integrity is. That's what our world is looking at when they say, are you a follower of Jesus? And you can say, I'm a follower of Jesus because I trust in the one who's given me a message that is greater than my own. It's given me strength, strength of character that helps me to trust, helps us to trust God more. Do you want to learn how to trust God more? Know that adversity is coming. God is in direction. I was telling people at the first hour, I think for me, the privilege of being a pastor all these years is just to listen, but I think the question I get asked the most is, is this God's direction for my life? And I always like to smile back and say, I cannot know what God's direction is, because he works differently in all of us. Now, I'm thrilled that you asked me that question, but now I'm going to turn that question back over to you and say, this is an opportunity for you to grow in trusting God a little bit more. Because each time that you use it, God's saying, this is my direction. This is the direction I want you to go. Here it is. I want you to go. I want you to go. But I need you to trust me. I'm going to direct you. I'm going to perfect you. And I will always protect you. That's God's message to us in these challenging days. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the message of hope that we receive from your word, that our world is unshakable only when we trust in you, trust in the fact that you're with us and you have the best in mind for us. But at those moments, Lord, we don't always know what you're about, what you're doing, but we do need to trust you. So, Lord, help us in those moments, even when they come to us this week. Help us to trust in you a little bit more. Because we know when that occurs, you are on the move, showing us how to really live as your followers. Thank you, Lord, for your message. We offer all praise and glory in the name that is above every name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.